coming up on Golf Today. Jack is back. The 18-time major champ joins us from Muirfield Village ahead of the Memorial Tournament. From the distance debate to the Ryder Cup, we will cover a lot of ground. And the stars have come out in Ohio, big-time players ready to honor Jack and meet him on 18 on Sunday in what is always one of the premier events on the PGA Tour schedule. And speaking of premieres, Rose Zheng about to make her professional debut on the LPGA in the shadow of Lady Liberty. Her first test, tackle the New York media. That's coming up on Golf Today.
Golf Today.
And coverage of the NCAA Division I Men's Golf Championships continues today on Golf Channel as the quarterfinals now in the books and just four teams remain in the chase for a national title. We're leading you into College Central 4:30 Eastern Time with the semis live on Golf Channel at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. This is Golf Today. Damon Hack alongside Amy Lynch, Golf Week Magazine, Great Golf out in Arizona. We have quite the guest list today.
Yeah, we're not only talking about the most anticipated debut in probably at least a generation at this point, but we're also going to talk to a guy who made a pretty impressive debut of his own 60 years ago, Jack Nicklaus, who was actually runner-up in the U.S. Open when he was still in college.
Yes, from Rose Zheng to Jack Nicklaus, so much to talk about in this week of golf. Let's start with the PGA Tour heading to Jack's place this week for the Memorial Tournament, a designated event on tour this season. Defending champ Billy Horschel takes on a superstar field as Jack Nicklaus hosts his annual tournament near his hometown of Columbus, Ohio. Coverage begins, by the way, Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Flash back to the tournament host, having presided over the Memorial since its inception in 1976. He won the second edition of the tournament in 1977, picked up a two-shot win over Hubert Greene in a weather-delayed Monday finish, and he wasn't done yet. 1984 captured his second Memorial Tournament victory and became the first repeat champion of the Memorial Tournament in the event's second ever playoff. And one of the things we love seeing is Jack with the winners every single year with his good buddy Tom Watson. That's 1996. That was Tom's second to last PGA Tour win. Always some tears with Steve Stricker. Tigers won it five times. Got Hideki Matsuyama 2014. John Rahm got it done in the year 2020. And Jack Nicklaus joins us now. Jack, it's always great to see you. Every year this golf course offers a new wrinkle or test for the players, forward bunkers, for example, maybe a new hole location. What are you most excited about in the presentation of the golf course this year?
Well, the weather's been the biggest presentation this year. We've haven't had rain here for a week or so, and we're not forecast to have any rain. That for Columbus, Ohio, that's unheard of. And so I'm looking forward to having a firm golf course, and rough is adequate. It's not extremely long or thick, but it's adequate. The greens will be firm. The fairways will run. It's a way I'd like to see golf played. The golf course is really good, and I think the tournament will be good.
Jack, every year the Memorial Tournament honors someone for their contribution to the game. This year, Larry Nelson, a man with double-digit wins, three majors, terrific Ryder Cup record, but he did it all quite quietly. Do you think Larry Nelson gets enough credit for the career he put together?
Larry Nelson had a great career, and nobody even knew about it. I mean, that's exactly what you're saying. It's unfortunate that is, because Larry Nelson's a really good player. And, two PGAs and a U.S. Open, and he won numerous other tournaments, the regular tour and the senior tour. And he's a good player and a nice guy, as you say, quietly moved through the game. And when he got done playing golf, he's amassed a pretty darn good record. And here we are at the Memorial Tournament honoring him for that this week.
Jack, we've been watching this great tournament for nearly 50 years. What did you want out of the Memorial Tournament when you first started it, and how much of those dreams really lived up to what you originally wanted?
Well, we structured it, Damon, so, it's not a major championship. There are four major championships, and we thought that was enough, and we didn't really feel like, the Masters is a bit structured like we are. It's a tournament. It's not a major championship. It's being called a major championship, but The Masters is structured off of the other three tournaments. And that was where the field was based upon. Ours is based upon the tour tournaments, and it's a little different base, but it's still a tournament, and we just wanted to put the best tournament on we can for the game of golf, be able to be a service to the game, be able to bring it to Central Ohio and a place where I grew up, and be able to showcase the game of golf to the people here. And it's grown fantastically. It's a big tournament. Excuse me. And it's people love coming here. They come from all over the world to play here and to come here to spectate. We've done very well, and we're very happy with it.
Jack, this is the first year where the designated status has been applied to the Memorial Tournament. Are you a fan of this new structure on the PGA Tour with the designated events, the non-designated events?
I don't know. I think we're probably too young to really find out whether we're a fan yet. We're doing it this year. We have a full field. Whether we have a limited field next year or not, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens, where we sit on the schedule. We have to wait and see. There's a lot of things that I think the tour is trying to figure out, what the best way to present our tournament, every other tournament, and a tour. I think that the tour was sort of forced a little bit by the LIV thing to up their game a little bit. I think they were going to up it, but I don't think they were going to quite up it quite as rapidly as they did. But I think it's probably, okay. It's a good thing that the players are playing for more now, and they're playing significant events. We'll see how it pans out in the future, but it also sort of highlights that it allows the other tournaments, other than the elevated events, to showcase some new young players and produce some new winners that will ultimately go on, give them the opportunity and more opportunities to win, to build their name so they can go play on the elevated tours and be successful.
Jack, as you know, a lot going on in the game of golf, including the USGA and RNA proposing a model local rule and a conforming golf ball for elite competition. Is it about time, too late, necessary at this point?
I think it's necessary. I think it's a good start of what they've done. They've done the golf ball. They'll need to probably do the golf club too. They still can stand back and whack it as hard as they want and hit any place on the golf club, and it really goes about the same distance. I don't think that's what it's all about. All about playing golf is being precise, being able to play good, solid shots. The golf ball has gone, 0.82 yards the last 10 years a year. So that's only 8.2 yards, but what's it going to do over the next 40 years? Go about 34 more yards for every tee shot? I mean, that all of a sudden you run out of golf courses, land, and places to play. So they need to do something. I think it's fine that they're doing it now. I've been, obviously yelling about it for almost 45 years now, 46 years. And so we're finally getting there, and we're finally starting to see it curve back. I mean, Bobby Jones wrote in one of his last books, he said, the biggest problem he sees as golf going forward is the distance the ball travels. Now, that's 100 years ago. The golf ball has still been increasing. So we needed to bring it back. We need to bring it back to where we have more championship golf courses in the United States and around the world, frankly, to be able to play.
Jack, you captained the Ryder Cup team twice, including right there at Muirfield Village back in 1987. The golf landscape was a lot different back then compared to how divisive it is now. If you were captain today, would you use captain's picks on LIV players, or do you think they shouldn't be considered for that?
I don't know whether it should be or shouldn't be. It's not my call. I think that, if it's a... The Ryder Cup is a PGA of America event, and the PGA of America allowed LIV players to play in their event. Whether they allow them to play in the Ryder Cup is their call, not my call. I think that I obviously like to have as strong a team as I can have, but the LIV players are not going to be playing on the European team, I don't think. I think it's because they had to withdraw from the European tour. That's been part of it. So I don't know what's going to happen or how it should be, but I'm sure the Ryder Cup will be a great event this fall, no matter which way it's played.
Jack, I know it's a very busy week for you, but I also know that you're one of the biggest tennis fans on the planet. Will you make some time to watch the beautiful red clay at Roland Garros in the coming days?
I watch it every morning. Absolutely. I'll be watching that. And of course, I watched last night, and Barbara and I are big Heat fans, so we enjoyed seeing the game last night. I'm actually also a Boston fan. I have been a Boston fan for years too. So, but after losing three straight games and come back and win that fourth in Boston, that was quite a feat. I thought that was very, very proud of the boys. I think they did a great job.
They did. Jack's just like us. A little hoops, a little tennis, and a little golf. Best to Barbara. Enjoy the week, Jack. Thanks so much.
Okay, Damon and Eamon. Nice to talk to you guys. Thank you.
Oh, it was nice to hear from one of the GOATs in the game. And here he is with the other GOAT in the game. Also two outstanding college players. Speaking of which, it's time for Rose Zhang's Hello World moment. It's the most anticipated professional debut since Michelle Wiese. And we're going to hear from Rose Zhang right after this break.
Golf Today, brought to you by WinGrips, the best grips in golf. And Bushnell Golf and the new Pro X3, the best, just got even better. And by Cobra Aero Jet Drivers, faster by design.
Welcome back to Golf Today. You can catch live first-round coverage of the Mizuho Americas Open from Liberty National Golf Club Thursday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on Golf Channel. Big story this week, Stanford superstar Rose Zhang making her pro debut after a short but bountiful college career. Back in 2022 as a freshman, she captured the NCAA Women's Golf Individual Championship by three shots, finished with a final round 75, joining her teammate Rachel Heck as the second consecutive Cardinal to win the individual title. Then back in April at the Augusta National Women's Amateur, Rose Zhang entered the final round with a five-shot lead but fired a final round 76. Found herself in a playoff with Georgia's Jenny Bay, but Rose would ultimately prevail on the second playoff hole.
And it was a little more than a week ago when the Stanford sophomore made history with her victory in the NCAA Women's Golf Individual Championship. Zhang finished with a final round of 4-under-68 to become the first woman to go back-to-back in the NCAAs. The win was also the 12th of her Stanford career, the most in school history. And following the NCAA championship, Zhang announced that she would forgo her final 2 years at Stanford and turn professional. She is making her pro debut this week at the Mizuho Americas Open, Liberty National, with a total of 8 LPGA events on her schedule. Today, she met with the media and was asked, why now?
Why the Mizuho Americas Open? What called you to make your debut at this event?
There were so many reasons. First of all, from the timing, after NCAA's last week, I was able to just figure things out a little bit in terms of my schedule and what I wanted to do going forward after my sophomore year at Stanford. And the Mizuho was a perfect place for me to kind of start out my professional debut.
Have to ask, was Michelle Wee West one of those factors? She was in here talking, said some very nice things about you. What's your relationship like with her? And did that have any influence on your decision to play this week?
100%. Michelle, her being a Stanford alum, she's kind of talked to me before. She's been a great mentor for me and a good role model about what to do, what she did in her professional career, as well as being at Stanford. She was actually one of the main influences for me to turn professional while going to school at Stanford. So in the following years, I'll still be at school finishing my degree. And she played a huge part in helping me with that decision just because she's done it before and she said, you can definitely do it.
You've conquered some really tough golf courses, obviously playing super well at Augusta National and winning that event and then playing so well at Greyhawk the last 2 years. Does any of those experiences at those big name golf courses really prepare you for a week like this?
Certainly. Those are one of the biggest stages that you're going to be playing at on a collegiate level and an amateur level. So there was a lot of media at Augusta. There were a lot of media at NCAAs, and that kind of prepped me for what I need to work on, what I need to do or balance things out when I'm playing golf, as well as doing media. So being here at a professional level now, there's certainly a lot of factors that are very similar to what I experienced those 2 weeks. And it allows me to balance my schedule a little more, balance my mind a little more before I go out and play. But those events were incredible, such unique experiences that I'll never get to probably experience again, because they're just such special events that I could just learn and grow with people that I love.
How did you know it was time to turn professional? What factors went into that?
Yeah, that's a very difficult question, because I was trying to figure out that timeline as well. Beginning my college career, I told Coach Walker that I do want to pursue professional golf in the future, but I didn't know whether or not it would be after 4 years, during my college career, and whatnot. So when I started, but one thing's for sure, I wanted to finish my degree. And the second factor was I wanted to see how well I played in college golf, because I believe that if you're not able to conquer one stage, then, you know, you won't be able to go on to the next one and say that it's time for the next step. So I wanted to see how I fared in college golf, and turned out well. So that's why I tried pursuing it. I thought, okay, now I can see where the trend is going. I see that I have potential going to the next stage. Therefore, I think it's time to make a plan. And first year of college, didn't think about it at all. I was like, okay, just finish college, finish the first year, figure out what you are as a person. And then going into sophomore year, there was a little bit more talk, but I honestly just felt like I'll take the first fall quarter steady and see what that decision may imply, see what kind of routes that I can take if I do decide to turn. And then I've had great support people around me who have played huge factors. My family, my agents, my coaches, all of them have put their input in me, and I've taken their considerations and their logic of things very seriously. And from there, I ultimately wanted to make a decision that would work out well for me. So I think just following throughout sophomore year, battling the decision here and there, but made out to be a very good one. I felt like it was time for the next stage. Regardless of what happens on the professional level, I'll still be at school and finishing out. So I think the logistics part of being able to go to school while being a professional also played a huge role in me deciding to turn pro.
A lot of comparisons between Rose Zhang and Tiger Woods at Stanford. Both accomplished quite a bit in 2 years on the farm, as Stanford is called. Rose just ahead of the big cat in terms of wins, NCAA titles, team titles, Player of the Year awards, and scoring average as well. And as you see, both left Stanford after a couple of seasons. Beth Ann Nichols joins us now from Liberty National. Beth Ann, you were in the room. So Tiger had his, you know, hello world moment. Michelle, we got a birthday cake. She turned 16 for her pro debut. What was the vibe like with Rose Zhang today?
A breath of fresh air. I mean, I'm sure you both can agree that it was just so delightful to listen to Rose. You know, she's just so poised, so confident. I can't imagine her being any more prepared for this moment than she appears to be. And yet, something that I thought was so interesting that her coach said to me earlier was that she thinks that her superpower out here is going to be her humility, which I couldn't agree more. You know, I talked to Rose a little bit after that press conference one-on-one, and I said, do you think that you can win out here right now? Is your game ready? And she said, technically, she thinks so, technically wise, but in terms of the adjustment period, she's like, I'm being realistic. I realize that this is not college golf. This is another level. It's going to take some time for me to get there and figure out what it takes to win, but she has no doubt that she can get there.
Well, judging by the logo she was wearing, Bethann, a lot of blue chip brands out there think she's a pretty good investment on the LPGA Tour. Do you think that increases the weight of expectation on her? And is she well equipped to deal with that?
Better than most. I would say probably better than almost any 20-year-old you could meet. You know, in terms of the amount of money that she's going to make off the golf course, I don't have any hard and fast numbers for you, but I think it's probably going to be, you know, not quite as big as Michelle Wee West back in 2005, but maybe the biggest since for an American player. And I think that Rose takes these things in stride. You know, she is a person who, you know, isn't really about money or fame. You know, it's for her, it's about who she is as a person. And she'll tell you that, you know, she's successful because of what's inside, because of what she calls the fundamental core of who she is. And that enables her to still be grounded and realize that after a bad day, a bad week, that, you know, there's more to life. And to hear her say that before she's even hit a shot as a professional says a lot, because it takes a lot of players a lot of years to figure that out, to not equate who they are as a person with their golf score. And Rose Zhang does not do that.
Yeah, important that she has that solid core, because there's a lot going on outside the ropes. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, the golf Twitterati can be beautiful and nice one minute and mean the next. What is the biggest challenge facing Rose Zhang in this next step?
You know, I think just making decisions for herself. There are going to be a lot of people who are going to have their own opinions, not just on Twitter, but, you know, within her team and in her inner circle. And she's going to have to take ownership of that. And she said, I asked her as well, what's the most important thing that Ann Walker has taught you at Stanford? And she said, to be resilient. I came into Stanford and I wasn't the one basically calling the shots all the time. And I was doing something that, you know, perhaps might not have been what I would have preferred to do in some circumstances with her game and her career. And she wants to take ownership of that at the next level. And that's something that Ann Walker has really given her, you know, the strength to do.
What's a reasonable expectation for her in the remainder of this year, Bethann? I mean, you've covered these protégés who've come out on tour before with great weight of expectations on top of them. She's playing 8 or 9 events through the course of 2023. What is reasonable to expect from her?
I think it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility that she could win. I think we all think she has the game to win right now. And if everything falls into place 1 week, she can do that. Now, you know, do we expect her to win in the next 8 starts with 4 of them being majors? No. If she doesn't win, does that mean it's a failure? No, not by any stretch. You know, I think this is a big learning curve, and that's the beauty of having a lot of tournaments in a short amount of time, is that she can keep rolling with it, you know? So she can get some momentum. She can apply what she's learning to the next week. And I think honestly, where the real pressure will be next year, when she's, I mean, we're assuming will be a full card carrying LPGA member one way or another. That's where I think we'll really see the pressure for Rose Zhang. You know, I think there's a little bit of a grace period that she's given herself, and I think we all should give her as well. As she learns the new caddy, you know, learns all the nuances that are involved with this game and travel. And by the way, she still hasn't moved out of her dorm room yet, because she has 3 finals left to take. She gets back to Palo Alto. So it's not like the sole focus right now is professional golf even yet.
Bethann, there was an era in golf where a big debut like this, there'd be some old school pros ready to kind of put the screws to her a little bit. I'm thinking of Beth Daniel, maybe a Dottie Pepper. How will the rest of the LPGA Tour react to this young phenom who's coming out there to kind of, you know, make her name known and maybe take a little bit of the money away from some of the top stars?
You know, I actually think she'll be embraced well, because this isn't a player who pushed her way onto the LPGA. You know, she did it step by step. As she said, she wanted to conquer each level. And there's a humility about Rose, much like a Lorena Ochoa. There's just a vibe that she has that, is so easygoing that I don't see how you could really be mad at Rose Zhang or want to have it out for her. So I'm not expecting that at all. I mean, maybe some jealousy because, you know, that's part of life, right? If she goes out here and really lights it up right out of the gates. But I don't think there's going to be any purposeful hijacks going on.
Given how well she's been playing recently before she even gets into the ped ranks, Bethann, what are the chances that Stacey Lewis might look at Rose Zhang as a wild card for the Solheim Cup?
You know, I asked Stacey this in L.A. at Wilshire not very long ago, and Stacey said, I'm pretty sure you have to be a member in order to be picked. And so to be a member before the Solheim Cup, Rose Zhang has to win on this tour. So again, not out of the realm of possibility, but if Rose Zhang were to win an event, I do not see how in the world Stacey Lewis could keep her off of that team.
Not seems to be able to handle anything that's coming her way. Thanks so much, Bethann. Enjoy the rest of the day at Liberty.
Thank you.
All right, as we go to break, some more images of Rose Zhang. We wish her the best of luck in her professional debut. Not that she needs it.
Golf Central Update, brought to you by Callaway Golf.
Sunday on the Korn Ferry Tour, Rico Hoey made birdie on the 72nd hole to win the Visit Knoxville Open by a single shot. Hoey had made just one PGA Tour start in his professional career, and this was his first win on the Korn Ferry Tour in 82 starts. And it was quickly obvious afterwards just how much this victory meant.
They played really well. I don't know, I just kept staying patient. I had Logan with me, my Yeti, and, you know, we had some tough years and just happy to get it done. Yeah, sorry.
No, the emotions are a good thing.
I'm an ugly cry.
Hardly. Last year you were playing mini tours. I can imagine you were wondering what the future held. Yeah. What do you wish you could say to that version of yourself about what was to come?
Man, what a journey. Yeah, I didn't think 2 years ago I'd be playing. You got to think my family, my girlfriend, my coach, Ross. I remember 2 years ago, I asked for a job, and he made me put up tee markers. And after that whole month, I didn't want to do that anymore, so I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, you certainly earned it. Congratulations, Rico.
Thank you. Enjoy Thanks, it. Guys.
And Rico Hoey joins us now. Rico, congratulations on the victory. You had to know how much was at stake over that putt on the 72nd hole. What was going through your mind at the time?
I was pretty nervous. Yeah, at the time, I was tied for the lead, and I was second to last group, so I knew I needed to make birdie to maybe somewhat force a playoff. And yeah, luckily I made the birdie putt, and yeah, no playoff. So glad to get the W.
Rico, why do you think the tears came in the volume that they came?
I think I was just, you know, struck with so many emotions. I called my girlfriend, called my family, and they were tearing up and crying. And I think it's just, we're just so happy. So, it was a great time.
You'd been on something of a heater lately. You know, you've had a second and three thirds just in the last five or six starts out there on the Korn Ferry Tour. So that had really put a PGA Tour card in play for you, Rico. This pretty much solidifies it. How much has that been on your mind when your play started to pick up that you were that close to the card?
You know, that never really crossed my mind. All I really wanted to do this year was just to keep getting better. And I feel like I've been doing that each and every week. And not only just, you know, my golf game is getting better, I feel like, you know, my attitude, my mental side is getting better. So, you know, I feel like good golf brings in, you know, that kind of, you know, getting that PGA Tour card. So that's all I'm trying to do. So each and every week I'm trying to get better.
Rico, it sounds like you'd been to some dark places a couple of years ago. You had the job where you're laying down the tee markers. You did that for about a month, didn't want to do it anymore. How much PGA Tour golf did you watch during that time? Because you have so many buddies that are out there, but I imagine it might have been difficult to watch the pros getting after a job that you wanted as well.
Well, I mean, I watched it, you know, every day, you know, being around the golf course, you know, doing the tee markers, helping out with the junior clinics. You know, I always root for a lot of those guys. Those guys are awesome out there. And just I really want to be out there. And so I, you know, just being at the golf course, it really helped, you know, going out and practicing, get the bug again, get the love again. And, you know, I got to thank my coach Ross for showing me the way. So, yeah.
How does this change your approach or schedule as you move forward through the rest of the year now that you've got this win?
I'm not sure. I haven't really fully looked into the schedule. I'm going to play, you know, hopefully most of them. But, yeah, I'm going to try to see if I can take a couple weeks off. I'm going to need that break before the playoffs, and we'll go from there.
What's the coolest thing that's happened, Rico, in the last 48 hours?
Nothing really. Just back to the grind. I drove, me and my buddy Cody Blake, we drove from Knoxville to North Carolina yesterday. So nothing too crazy.
Keeping it simple. Yeah. Rico, congratulations. Exactly. One of the big stories of the weekend. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you for having me, guys.
All right, folks, when Golf Today returns, the newest PGA Tour winner on the PGA Tour hops on the show, fresh off his win at the Charles Schwab Challenge, where he's driving that new Ford Bronco. We'll ask him coming up.
Well, Damon, I think somewhere our colleague Steve Burkowski is smiling from ear to ear because we got a little Sunshine State showdown in one of those semifinals, Florida State. I remember as a kid watching the battles on the gridiron with Bobby Bowden and Steve Spurrier. And in the golf sense, this is no different. I mean, we have two top 10 teams, Florida in match play for the first time, though, beats Virginia this morning. And they did so without their one of their best players, an NCAA individual champion, Fred Biondi. He lost his match 6-5. But the other two seniors stepped up. Ricky Castillo destroyed the likely freshman of the year in Ben James. And then Yuxin Lin, a little bit of match play demons. I remember a couple years ago, he got beat by Jonathan Brightwell in the Palmer Cup 8-6. Hasn't really made enough putts in this format, but he looked great today. And then on the flip side, Florida State. They have three juniors that have experience here at the NCAA Championship in match play. They made it to the quarterfinals 2 years ago before bowing out. But I want to talk a little bit about freshman Luke Clanton. Got the deciding point this morning against Illinois. Last summer, he won the North and South Amateur. That tournament is decided by match play. And talking to both coaches earlier today, J.C. Deacon said they're going to relish the opportunity to play their in-state rivals and playfully joked that, you know, we don't like them very much. And then Trey Jones took a little bit more of the high road, said we'll play anyone, anywhere. But you got to think deep down inside he's really looking at his chops to get a crack at the Gators.
Apparently, someone who made a lot of noise there last week is making a lot of noise at Liberty National this week. Rose Zhang making her professional debut. You covered her for a long time. How quickly do you think she makes an impact on the LPGA Tour?
It's difficult to say. I mean, I think we do have to temper expectations just a little bit, especially when you look at the last 4 years of amateur golf when she's won 22 times. I don't know if she's going to quite come out of the gates firing like that, but, you know, we know this is a special talent. I mean, her wedge play, her short game is elite. She's probably an above average putter on the LPGA right now. It's probably going to take some time, Eamon, but I wouldn't be surprised just knowing Rose and the type of player in person that she is if the moment is not too big for her and she wins this season or even in the next year or two of professional golf.
Brentley Romine on the scene for us at Greyhawk. Rose Zhang, of course, winner of the Annika Award presented by Stiefel. Now here are the finalists for the Fred Haskins Award presented by Stiefel, the award given every year to the top golfer in the men's college game. Ludwig Aberg of Texas Tech, Gordon Sargent of Vanderbilt, and Ben James of Virginia to announce the winner of this year's Fred Haskins Award presented by Stiefel. Here is Steve Burkowski.
Since 1971, the Fred Haskins Award presented by Stiefel has been given out annually to the top male collegiate golfer. Thrilled as always to be alongside John Schenkel, part of the Haskins Foundation and Senior Vice President for Stiefel. John, what has this relationship with Stiefel and this award meant that shows the continued growth of male college golf?
Well, I think the obvious answer is the number of votes that we got this year. Our partnership with Stiefel, Golf Channel, Golf Week has taken the Haskins to new levels. For instance, this is the 53rd year, and I can tell you that we had a record number of votes. I can tell you that our winner got a record number of votes, and we're very excited about that. And we really love the relationship with Golf Channel.
Well, we enjoy it as well. Let's get right to business and announce the 2023 winner.
It's the first player from Texas Tech, the first player from Sweden. It is Ludvig Åberg.
Ludvig, congratulations. Well done. A wonderful season, a wonderful career at Texas Tech. What's your initial reaction to be honored by players, coaches, media as the very best in college golf?
It's unbelievable. I'm just super fortunate to be in this position, and obviously I want to thank, you know, all my teammates, my coaches, and my peers for voting for me, as well as you know, the people around me. So super happy and looking forward to the future as well.
How would you describe the journey from growing up playing this game to leaving college golf as the very best?
It's been cool. It's been really fun. I mean, growing up in Sweden, it's not ideal for golf. Our season is a little bit shorter, but you know, I think that's where my love for the sport started, and you know, it's probably even stronger today. I'm super fortunate to have my name on this trophy. It's pretty cool.
Team golf, college golf, that is certainly a team sport, but individually, what went into the behind the scenes, the work that no one really gets to watch to get to this point for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think not only for me, but, you know, for my teammates and my coaches, we put a certain standard that we do at our school, and I think everyone's buying into that, and this is just a byproduct of that work that we're doing every day, and then the support that we have around us. So it's been really cool, and I'm super fortunate to be in this position.
You're a young man with a lot of goals. At the beginning of this season, where did potentially winning this Haskins Award rank on things you were hoping to accomplish?
I think, you know, any time that a competitor has this opportunity to be recognized like this, you want to take that. So obviously, I had it in the back of my mind. I'm not going to say I didn't. So I'm really happy to be here today.
You've achieved a lot of things in your season, senior season at Texas Tech. How does this, maybe you'll look back on what you've been able to do as you make the jump to professional golf?
Yeah, I mean, it validates a lot of things. It, you know, it's a receipt of me doing some good stuff, I feel like. So, you know, it's, but I'm just getting started. That's the fun part, I think. So I'm really looking forward to keep playing and keep competing, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Been a lot of fun to watch. Congratulations on winning the 2023 Fred Haskins Award presented by Stiefel.
Congrats to the young man number one in the Wagger since late March, won back-to-back Ben Hogan Awards in 22 and 23, 8 college wins, including the Big 12 Conference Championship in 22 and 23, Arnold Palmer Cup International Team member, couple of years, 5 PGA Tour starts, he's made 3 cuts, T24 at the 2023 API, and joined John Rahm as the only multiple-time winner of the Fred Haskins Award.
Where else would you find a student celebrating? Except Chipotle. Except you don't see many guys there with a PGA Tour card. He leaves Texas Tech with that card earned through the PGA Tour University rankings. That was finalized with the conclusion of stroke play at the NCAA Championship Monday evening. Åberg is the first player to earn PGA Tour membership via the PGA Tour University, and he earned that for the remainder of the 2023 season as well as the 2024 season, though he will be subject to reshuffles next year. The players who finished 2nd through 5th in the final rankings earned fully exempt membership on the Korn Ferry Tour for 2023, as well as an exemption to the final stage of the 2023 PGA Tour Q School, where the top 5 finishers and ties will earn their PGA Tour cards, and they can also accept unlimited PGA Tour sponsor exemptions for the remainder of 2023 and 2024.
Players who finished number 11 through 20 in the final PGA Tour University ranking earned fully exempt membership on PGA Tour Canada for 2023, as well as an exemption to the second stage of 2023 PGA Tour Q School presented by Korn Ferry, and conditional status through the Latin America swing of the 2024 PGA Tour America's season. A lot of these young men want to go where Emiliano Grillo is now. That is on the PGA Tour. Eamon, this was Sunday, final round at Colonial. The 72nd hole, leaning left, ball going right, Eamon.
And for a little while, it looked as though Emiliano Grillo's hopes were going to drift away with this ball as it sailed down that little watery canal on the right side of the hole.
Yeah, rolling, rolling, it went. I mean, can you imagine what was going through his mind? But he kept his composure, waited for a playoff, invited some kids to come hang out to try out his clubs and hit some shots.
Makes him the most popular babysitter on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, and then we go on to the playoff after a couple of pars in the first playoff hole. This is the second playoff hole. Grillo on the tee. Using the slope, letting gravity do its work.
Nestles that down to about 4 feet, and that putt was for the victory. Oh. It's first in 8 years.
Left to right, able to get the job done. His second PGA Tour win and victory over Adam Shank. Hugs all around, and very emotional afterwards, and why not? We've seen a lot of droughts come to an end this season. Chris Kirk at the Honda Classic, Russell Henley getting the job done, north of 2,000 days between victories. Jason Day also in Texas, and Keegan Bradley earlier this season at the Zozo Championship. And great to have Emiliano Grillo with us on this Tuesday. Emiliano, thanks for the time. I was struck by something you said during that win on Sunday. You said afterwards that the second win is in some ways harder than the first. Why is that?
No idea, but I think I was the clear example of it. Long time waiting for it. Like I say, it's been an interesting ride. So very excited. Obviously, it's a life changing moment for me.
Emiliano, most guys who feel as though they're heading towards a playoff are out there in the range grinding or biting their fingernails. You're inviting a couple of kids onto the range to hit shots with you. Was that a way of distracting yourself, or were you really just that chilled out?
Obviously, it's a bit of a trick. It was a situation that I was excited to be in it. Obviously, I still had a chance to win the tournament. The only bad thing is it wasn't up to me, so I had to just sit and wait. And obviously, those two kids there on the left, and they were just hanging out in there and just watching. They were just excited to watch me, and I said, why not? Just come over. And you know, I probably hit like 20 balls by the time, so I was pretty loose by then. So they obviously really enjoyed it. They were super excited. They were just fired up just to be there. So I'm kind of happy I made their day over there.
Oh, I think you made their year, Emiliano. What did they ask you about? What did they want to talk about?
Oh no, they just wanted to hit it. They were just excited to be there. They just wanted to hit it. I mean, you can see the first kid was actually left-handed, and he just grabbed the club like if he was left-handed and just swing it right-handed.
Emiliano, you also played well at Harbour Town. That, like Colonial as a golf course, it can't really be overpowered. It kind of has to be picked apart. Do you think that suits your game, and that you have to be opportunistic on those kinds of courses?
I've done well in several golf courses, but I feel that when I step into those through the gates of like Colonial, Harbour Town, it's like it definitely feels different. Those are probably the 2 weeks I enjoy the most out of the year. I mean, I would say beginning of April all the way to end of July is my favorite time of the year. It's when I enjoy playing the most, and it's not a coincidence that the biggest tournaments, all the majors are around that date. So, it's Colonial and Harbour Town, my two favorite stops on tour. You can add this one, you can add Memorial to the list, and a couple at the end of the year as well.
Emiliano, you give us two of the great images in one day on that Sunday. One was with the kids, but the other was the shot on the 72nd hole with the golf ball literally agonizingly rolling down that river. What was going through your mind? Were you humming a tune? What were you thinking as that ball kept rolling, rolling, rolling?
You know what? I've done that before. So, I mean, as soon as I hit it and I saw where it went and I saw people kind of running towards the creek, I told my caddy that ball is going to be running for quite a bit of time. So I kind of knew that I was going to drop it, you know, pretty close to kind of where I dropped it, and I was just thinking, you know, just make five wins the tournament, or at least I'm gonna have a big chance. So that's what I was thinking, just making five.
After the win, you said you'd had a child 14 months ago, Emiliano, that changed your perspective in situations like that and your day-to-day work. How does that manifest itself in terms of playing golf tournaments under stress?
I've had horrible rounds where I finished and went back to the house or the hotel we were staying, and you have a little child that has no idea what you did, but he was just happy to see you. So that changes you. It's been great. It's been a blast, and that was kind of my mentality. You know, I made double. I'm still gonna live the same life. I won the tournament, but I'm still gonna live the same life. I'm gonna play this weekend Memorial. I'm gonna get on a plane on Sunday. I'm gonna go spend time with my family. That's the way I look at it. Either I finish first or 21st or 61st. It wasn't gonna change me. So obviously I wanted to get it done on the 72nd. I've been looking for that victory, that second one, for over 7 years, as you all know, as you mentioned it 150 times since Sunday. But you know, it's been great. I'm enjoying every second of it, and like I say, I'm looking forward to going back home on Sunday.
A terrific perspective, a great win, and back on the horse in Ohio. Emiliano, thanks so much for the time. Best of luck this week in Dublin.
Thank you very much, guys. Hopefully, I'll see you next week again.
No doubt. We'll leave the light on for you, as they say. Here's a tee time for Emiliano Grillo alongside Scottie Scheffler and Victor Hovland. So promoted right to the big time, 7:53 a.m. Eastern time. Grillo, Scheffler, and Hovland. And you see John Rahm, Colin Morikawa, and Jason Day in this first round grouping Memorial Tournament presented by Workday. John Rahm, of course, the victor in 2020. With more, we send it out to Todd Lewis.
John Rahm won the Memorial in 2020, and you can make the argument that he should have won the following year after shooting a Saturday 64, which at the time gave him a six-shot lead. But on the 18th green, he was informed by the PGA Tour that he tested positive for COVID and had to withdraw. Rahm leads the PGA Tour currently in scoring average, and he feels comfortable and confident here at Muirfield Village, but that's not always been the case.
It's funny. First time I played here, I played bad. I missed the cut, and I think I told Adam, man, I don't know if I'm ever going back to that golf course. And he was telling me, you know, you're going to go back and you're going to love it. You're tailor-made for that golf course. And funny enough, the next time we came was 2020. It was when we had 2 weeks in a row here, so the Workday event, I didn't play my best, but I finished Sunday with a 64, and that kind of got me going towards the following week and won. So I really don't know. I think it's a golf course you kind of need to learn to play a little bit, right? It gives you a lot of options of a tee in a couple of holes, and getting a couple reps helps. But it's mainly, it's a little different to what we play throughout the year. It's target golf, right? You put it on the fairway, put it on the right proper side of the fairway to give you the best angle to the green. Par threes are all difficult, and you have to be really accurate with your iron play. No surprise Tiger has such a success here, right? You just need to come out and be the best. And while you're doing that, it actually makes you think a little bit more than some of the golf courses do. So it's, like I said, it's a fun test, and I think that's why I've played well.
In September, Rahm will represent Europe at the Ryder Cup in Rome. His friend and fellow Spaniard Sergio Garcia will not be on that Ryder Cup team. Garcia recently revealing that he had a conversation with Luke Donald, who is the European Ryder Cup captain, and Donald told Garcia that he will not be picked for that team. For Rahm, it's a disappointment.
I'm going to miss him. We had a great partnership at Whistling Straits. And I'm going to mention history again one more time. You know, a Spanish duo in the Ryder Cup, I think to me is embedded into the roots of the Ryder Cup with what Sevi and Ali were able to do throughout their partnership, right? So it's a little sad to me that politics have gotten in the way of such a beautiful event. Again, it's the best Europeans against the best Americans, period. And whatever is going on, who's playing live and who's not playing live, to me shouldn't matter. It's whoever's best suited to represent the European side. And I have a hard time to believe that the best player Europe has ever had, the most successful player Europe has had on the Ryder Cup, isn't fit to be on the team, right? So it's unfortunate. I will miss him. But with that said, I want to be hopeful. It's a couple of Spanish guys playing really good right now, so hopefully they can join me on the team.
If you take a look at the European Ryder Cup standings, you'll notice that there are three Spanish players that have a good shot at making Team Europe. Adrian Ortegi, Jorge Campillo, and Pablo Larrazábal, who has won twice on the DP World Tour in the last month.
All right, T. Lou, how about John Rahm since that COVID withdrawal in 2021? A couple of major championships, 6 PGA Tour wins in all, a couple of DP World Tour wins as well, and became world number one in 2021 and 2023. Put a bow on a big Tuesday after this.
Golf Today, brought to you by Skechers Go Golf, comfort-driven styles worn by Billy Andre, and by the new custom Fitping G430 irons, engineered to empower your game.
So much golf to watch this week on Golf Channel. NCAA Division I Men's Golf Championships today, 5 p.m. Eastern. Tomorrow, the championship match, 5 p.m. Eastern. Porsche European Open, Mizuho America's Open on the LPGA. Got the Memorial Tournament hosted by Jack Nicklaus. That begins Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern time. And the Principal Charity Classic, the 50 and over set PGA Tour champion, starts on Friday. Eamon, what a day and what a debut we have this week. Rose Zheng about to become a professional on the LPGA Tour.
And this has got to be the most highly anticipated debut since Michelle Wee.
Wow.
You know, all those years ago. And
full circle, because Michelle's hosting this week.
It really is. It is kind of squaring off the circle here. Anyway, and Rose Zheng sounds and looks so composed and capable and confident, but you still hope that she's given some time out there because the demands are greater, the standard is higher, the competition is tougher, the spotlight is brighter out there. I hope she doesn't get overburdened by the kind of expectations that were put on Michelle Wee. But in fairness, a lot of that came because Michelle was also competing against men earlier in her career.
Yeah, I tell you what, she's won everything as an amateur. She had an incredible career, unprecedented in a lot of ways. I, too, hope she is allowed some grace and some time to enjoy it, because I believe the pressure is going to be going really, really quickly, very, very early.
Yeah, how could it not, given the expectations and standards she set? She's certainly capable of meeting it. Just give her the time to do so, I guess.
It's going to be fun to watch her in the shadow of Lady Liberty. Golf Central coming up. Anna Jackson and Julia Johnson.